values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, appreciate you spending some time with us. Before we went to break, I said, what is an RRO? Well, I'm gonna pay off that tease, and then we'll kind of get into this story. The Phoenix Union has voted to bring back school police, and they are now called RROs, not SROs. They're called regional resource officers, meaning there will not be an officer at each school campus. They will be regionally, so they will cover a bunch of different schools. And when something happens that the school thinks they need the police for, they will call these officers in. Someone explain to me how that's any different than what they're doing right now. These are the questions the media, I do believe that they're going to be on this a lot more. I think there's a great angle here. This is something people want to learn about. People want to know what the board is doing. Now, there's an organization that call themselves School to Liberation Campaign. I don't know what that means, but it's from Poter in Action. They're a big part of this. And I know I'm pronouncing that completely horribly wrong. I don't speak Spanish. And when I try to speak Spanish, it sounds like I'm trying too hard to speak Spanish. So bear with me. I say Poter in Action. Them along with Puente, the Phoenix Union board members, not all of them, it just says board members. That could be two, could be three, I don't know. And some staff members, don't know how many that is, but some, more than one staff member at the Phoenix Union High School District are a part of this organization that they are saying is, I'm going to give you the headline, Phoenix Union School District votes on a safety plan that is community-led and solutions-oriented. That sounds so good. But the headline at AZ Central says, following Phoenix Union votes to bring back school police, develop student bill of rights. The first paragraph says, following a month-long community engagement process and hours of contentious board meetings, the governing board of Arizona's largest high school district voted unanimously to bring police officers back to its campuses along with a set of other safety measures. That is true-ish. But they are already doing this. This is what's funny, is the cops have been called a number of times, but they haven't been given any help. And it doesn't look like in this new plan they're going to be given any help. Let me read to you what they're saying their plan is. Their plan is a confidential, this is from the Poter in Action, this community-led group, the School to Liberation Campaign. This is what they say. This is their interpretation, and they are board members on this group, say their interpretation of what the goals of the new safety plan is. A confidential complaint process to protect students, staff, and educators from police. So if they voted to bring police back on campuses, why does this group that includes board members say that the plan is to protect the students and staff and educators from police? The board also made an effort to continue the conversation about scaling police presence down to zero. They don't ever want the police on campus. I've been saying this for months. When this originally was triggered a couple of years ago, when Dr. Gestin was talked about them removing school resource officers and coming up with their own safety plan, this was billed as a student-led movement, that the students of the Phoenix Union High School District had gone to school board meetings and had gone to staff and had gone to people in the faculty and said they were afraid of the police, that we are afraid when the cops are on campus. It was a part of the defund the police mindset, the hatred of the police mindset. So they blamed it on these students. Well, they gave them credit, but it was giving the responsibility to the students. We're doing this in response to the student desire, which, what could possibly go wrong when you do what the kids want? But that's what they said. But I have come to the conclusion over the last year or so that this is about board members that are in the same ideology as Poter in Action, They are an anti-police organization. They believe that police in neighborhoods are the problem. They are defund the police people. They think that the police are the problem and not the answer. So there was, I believe it was the president of the school board. Maybe I'm wrong, but I know it was a board member dropping the F-bomb saying there's no way there will ever be an effing cop, or there's no effing way there will be ever be cops on our school campuses. Said at a board meeting. You know, and so the kids, the good kids, this is the same in life. You look at the zone that's being cleaned up by Phoenix PD. One of the reasons why there was a lawsuit by businesses and by property owners in that area called the zone is that law enforcement was non-existent. And there were crimes being committed on the streets from, you know, indecent exposure and relieving themselves in the street all the way up to and including murder. And there was violent attacks against others. Rape and other sexual crimes were being committed. Drug abuse, drug dealing in open and in public, prostitution. Why? Because there was no police presence to stop the predators from preying upon those that they could. And you're seeing the same thing in the Phoenix Union High School District. While the rest of the state is increasing, the superintendent of public instruction and the Arizona School Department of Education are making money out there, you know, allotting money for school resource officers across the state of Arizona. So it's not going to tap into budgets. It's not going to do any of those things. And there are many schools across the state of Arizona that are taking them up on this. According to this press release, and I'm going to read it again, the board also made an effort to continue the conversation about scaling police presence down to zero. The largest high school district in the state of Arizona at least has a majority of board members who can't stand the police. They don't want them anywhere near campus. It's a political statement. It's why I hate the politics of education. And I just want to know, at what point do we wait until there's more times we're finding guns on campus? We know that one student shot another student in a gun deal. We know that's happened on a Phoenix school campus. We know that they found at least two bags of fentanyl on school campuses. I've got pictures and videos. I've got videos of massive brawls on campuses. I've got pictures, still pictures of students with guns on campuses. And I get these from teachers, so I know the faculty at these schools have them. And yet nothing is being done. And they're all doing this all in the name of student privacy. They're not giving the student's name. They're handling it in-house. So as a parent out there, if you have a child in the Phoenix Union High School District, how is this not something that you're begging every television and radio station to cover in town? How is it that you're going to allow your sweet young child that's there to get an education to go to school where you know that there are drugs and guns on campus? And there's nothing being done about it. And the last question I'll ask, I asked on Friday. Name a situation that's dangerous. Name a dangerous situation that has been made safer by less officers. In the wake of January 6th, Nancy Pelosi put a fence around the Capitol and sent about 20,000 armed National Guard soldiers to protect the Capitol after January 6th. You pick them. Pick one. Super Bowl. World Series. Anything, go to a major concert. Taylor Swift surrounded by security, armed security. Nope, it's going to be safer because more guns, more death, right? So it doesn't make sense, but it makes sense somehow in one place, the Phoenix Union High School District. Coming up in a moment, we are going to talk about gas prices. Are they set to increase? The answer from most experts is yes. We're going to tell you why coming up here in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right. Talking about the economy, I said we're going to talk gas prices because it plays a big role in this. We talked earlier this morning. This is a scary headline. Maricopa County eviction filings climb again in May. Here's why. And it talks about the numbers increasing by 550 May over April. And the evictions fell during the pandemic. We know that people weren't allowed to be evicted. But when that moratorium ended, we saw a spike. We're seeing more and more because of the high cost of rent. So people are being evicted at a time where the city of Phoenix is dealing with the zone and trying to provide beds for people that are homeless and get them out of homelessness. We are still seeing a high number of people that can't afford their place to live. When we talk about the working poor, that is a difficult place for families to be in because many of them weren't there. Inflation has dragged them down to the point where they are doing everything they can. They're working as many hours as they can. They've cut corners where they can. They're living on the essentials. They've used credit cards. And they're finding out that they're visiting food banks once a week or once every other week because they're not able to make it to payday and fill all of the buckets they need to fill with money. And so we're seeing more and more of this. And families, you know, this is one of those odd things. I used to say to my kids, growing up the way I did, you learn to prioritize. And it was a great thing that happened for me. Unfortunate for my mother being as broke as she was. But you learn to prioritize. And I told my kids that, you know, there was a time where I had to prioritize what I paid. I would pay my car insurance and I would call the finance company where I had my vehicle financed and asked them for extra time. The reason why is if I made my car payment, my insurance was just going to lapse. And if my insurance lapsed and I got in a crash, my vehicle got stolen, I was on the hook. I know that sounds like a silly analogy, but the point is you learn to do creative things to get yourself just to the next day, the next week, the next month, trying to climb your way back. The gas prices come into this because we are at about 11 cents on average, 11 cents less than we were a week ago. We have seen a dip in gas prices here in the Metro Phoenix area. It was up over $5 a gallon. It's about $4.42 right now, which is still extremely high. But OPEC, the OPEC nations have decided that they called it ouching, which is a really interesting term coming from the Saudis. They're calling it ouching, but they have decided that they are going to cut production by 1 million barrels per day to what they say to stabilize oil prices. And if we have a worldwide recession, that this is in response to that. So they're not going to respond to it when it happens with this dramatic economic slowdown that people are talking about. They're doing this ahead of time. Gas prices spiked the last time they did this, and we saw huge prices here in Arizona over $5 a gallon. Now, again, not everything in our gas prices has to do with this. There's a lot about the type of fuel, you know, the blend that we use, how it's refined, how it's delivered. All of that plays a role in us paying extremely high gas prices. But overall, across the country, we see this happen when they cut production. And it goes back to the mindset of here we are in a nation that still, what have we done? Have we dramatically reduced our dependence on not foreign oil, on oil, on petroleum? Have we under this president believes that climate change is the number one threat facing the world today? It's something we talked about earlier. It to me is a very fascinating topic to discuss because you look at the top 20 cities in the world and there's not one U.S. or European city in the top 20. They're all India, mostly China, India, Pakistan. But we are on the hook for all of these things that are increasing costs of everything, appliances, and all of these other things are going to cost more with these new limitations. But has this administration dramatically diminished the need for petroleum-based products? The answer is they haven't at all reduced the demand. I talked about mining earlier. There are three smelters. I got a message from someone today. There are three smelters left in the entire country, two of them in Arizona, another one in Utah. But there are three left in the entire nation. So we put these strict confinements on mining here in this, whether it's copper, and we're known for that in Arizona, or other things, we have such huge restrictions, and yet we are pushing toward vehicles and solar panels that depend immensely on the minerals pulled out of the ground. Then what we're doing is the same thing we did with oil. We have this huge dependence on oil that hasn't been dramatically reduced, but we've reduced our capabilities in the U.S. to drill, to frack, and to refine. And that's what we've done. We have turned this over to OPEC. OPEC controls, because they pump about 40% of the world's oil in the OPEC nations, they effectively control the price of oil. Well, if we're doing this with the minerals, and that's exactly what's happening, that we are deferring and we are allowing China to control the minerals for the, in large part, that are going to be necessary for the batteries for these new vehicles and for the parts in these solar panels that everybody's going to depend on. We are then letting them the, control the price of the, those things. And how is it making us better? It isn't. It isn't making us better at all. It sounds great. The Green New Deal sounds like we're going to do the work. China, India, these nations that are the worst in the world are thumbing their nose at us. And here we continue to go down a road making things more and more expensive. It is a disaster waiting to happen. We did it with oil and we're seeing the results. And we're going to do it with these minerals. It doesn't make any sense. Mining is not dangerous to the planet. And if you name another nation, if you look on the track record of China and India and these other countries, who do you trust, whether it's mining for minerals or whether it's pulling petroleum out of the ground? Who is going to do it more safely and more environmentally friendly, us or those nations we've relinquished it to? Just think about it that way. In a moment, where are the most polluted cities in the world? We're going to get to that list. It is such a fascinating topic, and we're going to go down the road of the Green New Deal. I'm going to explain to you what's in it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, tell the truth. Which one are you dancing like in the car? Are you dancing like Chris Farley or Patrick Swayze? Which is it right now? You know it's one or the other. They're doing the Chris Farley in the control room. I want to remind you, we've got record inflation. You know, the times are still tough for families. There are more hungry families reaching out to St. Mary's Food Bank. They're still almost setting records. Our population dips in the summer, which means the need for intentional giving grows. They are doing something with Gatos and Chad do it every year. It's called Food Bank Fridays, but you don't have to wait to Friday to donate. Just text the word food to 411923 and you can donate there. A dollar buys five meals. That's how far your dollar can go. It doesn't have to be a big donation, but please help us out. Donate or dial the or text food to 411923. It's Food Bank Fridays presented by the UPS store. The idea of being green to me is a good thing. You know, I joke about how old I am, but I've gone through some big changes in this world. I've seen some things change. When I was a kid, you don't understand them. I worked at a gas station when I was a kid when they would still, you had the option. So it used to be only full service. That was kind of what gas stations did. Then they went to some self-service. That was kind of a new thing. And then there were gas stations like the one I worked at where you could go to the pump and pump the gas yourself, or there was the full service line. And we had leaded and unleaded gas while the transition was happening with catalytic converters being installed on cars to get rid of leaded gasoline. Nobody can argue now that that wasn't a good change for the planet and a good change for air quality across this country. Nobody can argue that. But we look at how far we go in the name of the political correct world where people are environmentalists. Again, I would say cruelty to animals is a horrible thing. PETA goes too far. I don't think I'm being unreasonable in the minds of most people. I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. I'm a carnivore. But I also love animals, and I don't think animals should be mistreated. But that doesn't mean that we should treat them like or better than human beings, and PETA believes you should. And so there is a line that most people see and say, you know, that just is a bridge too far for me. That is just – that's something – it's and the same thing with environmentalism. Elon Musk – and farmers are in Ireland have gone after the government because a proposal in Ireland would slaughter 200,000 cows and reduce the number of cows in Ireland by 200,000 over the next couple of years. They would consider culling 65,000 cows per year for the next 3 years in the name of climate change. Now, I mentioned earlier, because it tied into the last topic we were talking about with fossil fuels, I talked about green energy. And the story, the 20 most air polluted cities on Earth. And I said, instead of naming each city, I'm just going to name the country where they're from. Top three, Pakistan, China, India. One, two, three in that order. Gold, silver, and bronze is Pakistan, China, India. Then it's India, Pakistan, India, India, Chad, India, 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 Iraq, India, India, Pakistan, India, 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 and the final one is from India. Here we are in America talking about we're going to change appliances, which are going to make them less efficient and much more expensive, which means, again, you, the working public, we keep talking about the economy and more people are being evicted from their properties and all these things are happening. Well, you know, landlords have expenses, too. So the prices go up for landlords. The prices go up for renters. If you own a home, if you're buying appliances in Arizona, the nightmare in the summer is your air conditioner gets overloaded, it gets overworked, it gets older, and it begins to fail. It is a safety issue. And then they come to your home and they tell you it's going to be thousands of dollars to replace. Well, the cost of those appliances are going up again. Efficiency is going down with the new standards. The idea that we talk about the electrical grid, where the majority of our electricity is produced by fossil fuels, produces our electricity. But we are pushing toward electric, not just electric cars, but they want to get rid of gas stoves. Gas all of a sudden is dangerous. There is nothing better. And I'm a foodie. I'm not a chef by any means, but I love to cook. It would be a dream of mine when I retire to go to culinary school. That's how much I love to cook. I'm basic. I love to try new things. I do try new things, but I love to cook. There is nothing better, except for grilling, but there is nothing better than cooking on a gas stove. The home I live in now doesn't offer gas appliances in the neighborhood. They don't have Southwest Gas, and I almost didn't buy the house because of it. I love cooking on a gas stove. I don't know of a commercial restaurant. I don't know of a restaurant that cooks on an electric stove. I'm sure they exist somewhere, but I don't know of any. It's clean. But again, a study came out and said it hurts with asthma and some kids might get sick. You've got New York City saying we are not going to. Now, you're talking about a city of 8 million people. We are not going to allow in any new construction gas appliances. So you're going to convert it to the electric grid. California with electric cars. We're going to get rid of all gas powered vehicles. My point in this is you go so far when it comes to going green that you just lose people and they continue to push it. Here's the headline. Biden's green rules mean appliances will soon cost more and do less, according to the experts. The Green New Deal is back and it is more radical than ever. They announced the reintroduction of the new Green New Deal in the Senate. The Green New Deal is one of the most socialistic legislative proposals ever conceived. This is a quote. But I want to get into what's in it. It would make substantial changes to America's vast agriculture industry, create a jobs guaranteed, and provide all people with government-managed health care, economic security, healthy food, and access to nature. That's what the Green New Deal says it's going to do. It is the idea that we are going to regulate and control everything. I learned my lesson a long time ago. I've said jokingly, but I mean it. I'm serious about it, that my heroes have always been cowboys, and they have. I moved to Arizona because my dream was to be a cowboy, a rodeo cowboy. To a degree that I could, I lived that dream. I wasn't a cowboy. I lived the dream where I took care of some bulls and I did some things in the cowboy world. But I was around some of the best rodeo cowboys on the entire planet. And I got to surround myself with ranchers and real cowboys, real working ranchers here in the state of Arizona. And I got to be in that world for a number of years. And I can tell you, you know who the environmentalists are? They are not the pointy-headed geeks in the classrooms and academia. With all this ideological solutions to things. It's the men and women that for generations have worked the land on this planet. It's the people that have raised the cattle and raised the crops that want to make sure that it's there for their children and their children's children. Those are the real environmentalists. You want to know who the environmentalists, who the animal rights activists really are? It's the hunters and the anglers. It's the people that buy the fishing and the hunting licenses and they manage the herds with the money that is raised from those licenses. The people that have hunted with their children and their grandchildren. Let's say a guy that has a picture in his cabin somewhere of him hunting with his dad and his grandfather next to the picture of him hunting with his sons or daughters and their children. Those are the real environmentalists. this ideological war that we are waging, to say that someone like me isn't an environmentalist because I don't buy into your nonsense, I'm sorry, that just isn't the way it is. Coming up in a moment, Governor Hobbs has $25 million for border security. We get to it coming up here in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's talk about the border. California authorities say migrants flown to Sacramento have links to Florida. We're going to get to this in a moment, how upset they are in California that migrants were lied to, which, again, you shouldn't lie to anybody. We'll talk about this in a minute. I just want to get to some of the headlines. Police seize over 200 pounds of fentanyl pills en route to Phoenix. 200 pounds of fentanyl pills. Arizona men accused of having 7,000 fentanyl pills, cocaine, and meth arrested in Idaho. This is all part of the border issue. What else? Immigration backlog has a U.S. asylum seeker feeling like he's imprisoned in a country. And the border crisis has overwhelmed schools in some of America's most populated cities. So let me start there. New York City, Miami-Dade County, Denver, Chicago school systems. Not exactly in those places, not exactly conservative strongholds. Have all to adapt to the influx of migrants, according to reports. Border Patrol recorded more than 632,000 encounters of migrant families and unaccompanied children in fiscal year 2022 at the southern border, more than 365,000 in the first 7 months of the fiscal year, according to federal data. So they talk about 16,000 migrant children have enrolled in the New York City public schools since the fall. New York City's West 105th Street School has 535 students enrolled, which is 100 more than it can hold due to the surge in illegal migrants coming to the area, according to the Post. The school had, in 2022, had 393 kids. In Florida, Miami-Dade County, more than 20,000 new migrant students have enrolled. Some of these kids didn't know their ABCs in second grade. This is a worldwide problem, and the U.S. is in trouble because of our border policies. We are being overwhelmed. I will tell you that I want to use an example of legal immigration to get to the person seeking asylum. I moved to Southwest Florida in the late 1970s, and not knowing it, the girl that I was going to end up being with for a very long period of time came to Florida at about the same time. Except she was a Mariel Cuban. They call them Marielitos. Her family, her parents, she's the oldest at the time, oldest of three girls. Their brother was born in the States, was boarded a fishing boat during the Mariel boat lift and made their way to Miami, went through Freedom Town, got their green cards, became citizens, and moved on with their lives. They now, all of her sisters and her brother, they all have children of their own. I'm still very connected to the family. And, they are the American dream. They were educated in American schools. They speak both languages fluently. Their parents made a commitment that they would speak Spanish in the home, so their children stay tied to their roots. When I go home, I still see them. When I go back to Florida, I go and see them. And my ex-sister-in-law and her mom, my former mother-in-law, cook Cuban food, which I love Cuban food. And we just reminisce and we talk, and her parents are just some of the most solid Americans, whole family Americans I've ever met. They are the American dream to me. And I think of that immigration story and I say, they were educated in American schools. They came here. They didn't speak English. They learned it. The father learned it. The mother learned it. The children learned it. They made a commitment to it, and they've become proud Americans. When you look at a story of an asylum seeker saying, I feel like I'm imprisoned in this country, I can't get an asylum hearing, I can't get resolution to my case, and I'm stuck, I'm trapped. What a horrible place for someone that has a legal right to be here to be in. And when you see the breakdown in our system, I don't understand how we don't focus on the right things. When I think about those families, I told you, I've told these stories so many times. One of my best friends in high school, both of his parents are Mexican immigrants to this country, legal immigrants, and they became wealthy by the sweat of the father's brow, and the mother worked hard. She worked for GMAC Finance. She passed away a number of years ago, but they taught me hard work. I was a maniac in high school, and their dad put me to work and let me go to work with them in the summers, and I saw what real hard work was like with the migrants and migrant fields and things of that nature. My friend here, Ariel from Russia, has told me stories about coming here and living the American dream. And all of these people come here and they become Americans. And it's every American should be proud of those stories. We should be over the moon with the stories of people that have made their fortune, made them what they would consider their fortune, whether they become rich or not, in the American dream. And instead of telling those stories, we are doing what we're doing now. And every American should be upset about this. We should be furious at the Congress and the White House. This shouldn't be happening. We should not have 85,000 missing kids. In this number of kids that are overwhelming the school system, which is hurting everybody, teachers and students and taxpayers and the kids that are coming here, it's hurting everybody. Not only is it hurting them, but now you've got 85,000. That's the number. 85,000 unaccompanied minors that entered this country in the last couple of years that they cannot account for. They do not know where they are or what condition they're in. It should be unacceptable to all of us. It should be something that's unacceptable. What we're going to do in the final hour of the show, of course, we're going to have Did You Hear This at 11:20, but we are going to talk about the Phoenix Union High School District's new safety plan, what the news story says and what the press release says. Two different things. Next.